coming to the Traffic Commission meeting. I will be reading off a statement here shortly that will apply to both TC issues that we will be doing. But first, we're going to do a call to order and then the roll call. So Commissioner Brown?
Present.
Commissioner Henderson? Commissioner McLean?
Present.
And Sheriff Conway, Commissioner Cohen, and Commissioner Beatty are absent and excused. Vice Chair Johnson is present. At this point, we have any visitor comments that are not on the agenda? Nope. Any staff comments?
Yes. Before you, there is two additional written testimony that came after we made the report. So one is for and one is against, and both are for TC 791.
Thank you. Moving on to the consent agenda items, which is the minutes of the meeting from March 7th, 2018. Or 2019, that's a correction. I'll make a motion to approve them as written.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Passed 4-0. Okay, and now we'll move on to the public hearing. And again, I'll be reading this and it will apply to both of them. So bear with me here for just a few moments. The Traffic Commission will hold a hearing on issue number TC 791, parking restrictions on Southwest Kattegat Drive at the traffic circle, and TC number 792, which is 2-hour parking and loading zones on Southwest Crescent Street and Southwest Thayer Lane. The hearing will begin with a report from the city traffic engineer, followed by testimony from the person who submitted the proposal. The city traffic engineer's report will list the applicable substantive criteria and the reasons behind the recommendation. We will then hear testimony from the other interested parties. If you wish to testify, please complete one of these yellow cards available at the table near the entrance to the room and give the card to the reporter. Evidence and testimony must be directed to the criteria in section 6.02.060, determined to be applicable by the city traffic engineer, or other criteria, current, city, metro, TriMet, state, or federal laws or policies, which you believe apply to the decision. After the hearing is closed, the commission will deliberate on the evidence received and make an oral decision to approve, approve the conditions, or deny the proposal. The decision will not be final until the final written order is signed by the chairman. All people who testify will receive a written notice of the final decision of the commission. Decisions of the commission are recommendations to the city council and become effective after approval by the city, by the council. Typically, traffic commission recommendations appear on the consent agenda item of the council and are approved by the council without discussion. The city council ordinarily does not conduct a public hearing on such recommendations. Any decision of the commission may be appealed to the city council. When an appeal is properly filed, a separate hearing will be scheduled before the council. Any appeal must be filed with the city recorder within 10 days of the date of the Traffic Commission's final written order. The procedures related to written appeals are available from the Office of the City Traffic Engineer and the city recorder. Okay, so we will first begin with TC number 791, which is the parking restrictions on Southwest Kattegat Drive at the traffic circle, and we will begin with staff comments.
This request was from Ms. Diane Peely and Ms. Barbara Cedar. They both requested that parking be prohibited near the traffic circle on Kattegat Drive. They indicated that when cars are parked near the traffic circle, it forces drivers to travel the wrong way through the traffic circle. They are concerned about the safety of drivers and the ability of emergency vehicles to go through the street. Kattegat Drive is classified as a local street, open residential street. It has a pavement width of 28 feet. And a couple of days ago, we did a traffic study that's not mentioned in the report. It carries approximately 600 vehicles per day. And the speeds were very low. It's around 20 miles per hour on the street itself. East of the traffic circles, There is a curb extension on the north side of the street that narrows the street to 24 feet. During the most recent of 3 years of available crash data, there were no reported crashes. Under current standards of the city engineering design manual, for street that day, it has a 28 feet pavement width, parking is allowed on both sides of the street. So can I get meet that requirement to allow parking on both sides? Although the traffic volume, you know, from the traffic study, it shows 600, the cut point is 500. So it's kind of on the borderline. Additional 100, you know, vehicles over the 500 allow parking on both sides, it's not much. During field visit to the site, staff observed that parking on Katagi Drive actually affects the through traffic, and we also observed that drivers are actually going to the wrong way through the traffic circle. Basically, they're driving on the wrong side of the street. Staff is proposing to restrict parking on both sides of Katagi Drive between the west intersection of Southwest Theodore Way and 50 feet east of Pembroke Terrace. This will ensure that two-way traffic can pass through the traffic circle without encroaching on the oncoming traffic or traveling the wrong way through the traffic circle. So we're asking the commission to approve this request.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Yes, Commissioner McLean.
Quick question. If approved, and the restrictions go through, approximately how many parking spaces do you think would be affected or removed from available parking as it is now?
Potentially between 8 and 10 vehicles.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we are going to go in the public testimony in order of the cards that we've received. I just want to remind you when you come up to give public testimony to go ahead and ring the green sign there. It gives you the instructions so that we can have a public record of everything that's said. So with that said, our first card is from Gary Carlson.
Gary Noble Carlson. I'm not representing business, I'm just representing moi. My address is 16743 Southwest Road, River Terrace, Beaverton, Oregon, 97006. I'm in favor of the changes. I'd like to make a couple of comments. First of all, when you go through Kattegat, either west to east or east to west, there's cars on both sides. And if you're meeting somebody, you've got to be very careful about who's going to go first. And that's a problem. If the cars weren't on both sides, even if they were on one side, it would help. But getting them off of both sides, that would be great. And that curb extension going from west to east down Kattegat, if there's cars, you've got a blind spot, so you can't see who's coming up Kattegat from the east. So it's dangerous. So I guess that completes my testimony.
Thank you. Any questions?
One question.
Commissioner Brown?
One question. Where on our little map, or where's your home?
It's on Rogue River Terrace. On the Kattegat, on the east end of Kattegat, okay. It runs into Rogue River Terrace.
Okay, got it.
Any other questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up we have Joyce Nagomi. Apologize if I say the names incorrectly.
Thank you. My name is Joyce McComey, and I'm a homeowner in the neighborhood Village at Waterhouse. And I am generally in favor, but I would also like to add that it's my opinion that there should be no parking on Kattegat. This would not be without keeping the neighborhood standard, because as you drive through our neighborhood, there is parking only allowed on one side of the street throughout that entire little subdivision. Kattegat has become a throughway from 167th and the neighborhood adjacent to 170th to avoid Walker. And so that is supported by the 600 vehicles per day for a neighborhood that probably has 50 houses. So we've seen the traffic increase there, and I would propose that there would be no parking on Kattegat.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much. Okay. The next card we have is for Diane Meadley. Mm-hmm. And again, please read off the green card that looks like.
Stole the sign.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm Diane Mealy, representing myself. I live in the neighborhood on Watermark Lane, 16972 Southwest Watermark. And I am in favor of this. I would like to say that when I initially called and talked to Jabra about this issue and my concern for safety in the neighborhood, my hope was that we could change Kattegat to have parking on one side only, because it is a heavily traveled street. It wasn't designed for the kind of traffic it has currently. It's become a cut through for people wanting to go from Walker onto 170th without going to the light at 173rd and turning left. So they turn left on 167th, right on the Kattegat over to 170th and turn left there. There's a high volume of traffic during rush hour in particular. And because of the curving of the street and the size of vehicles parking, visibility is really bad. And so when you have cars parked on both sides of the street, you can't have cars going both ways. There isn't room for foot cars. So it has to be one car in each direction and taking turns. And I've nearly had a head-on more than once, because not everyone understands that as they're cutting through the neighborhood. They're in a hurry, they want to get home. And they're coming at a good clip as I'm coming around a bend. Part of my car has to get out into the area before I can see if anyone's coming. So I think it's really dangerous. And I think parking on one side would be an improvement if we can't do no parking. This, what we've come up with here is certainly helps, because an emergency vehicle could never get around a car parked near this little roundabout. The road is very narrow right there. So those are just some things to consider. I don't know if that's even an opportunity, if you'd have to do another study to come up with that, but at some point I think that's going to have to be revisited.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
There is a question. Commissioner Anderson.
Okay.
Yes, thanks for coming, by the way. Are you concerned that with parking restrictions that it would free up the area to the point that it would encourage even more cut-through drivers?
Well, there is always that possibility. I do think it would be safety from a visibility standpoint. It would still be an improvement. It would be a safer road. Yeah, it is a community street, and we don't want a lot of traffic, and I don't know what to do about that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next up, we have Barb Seiler.
My name is Barbara K. Seiler, and although I am president of our homeowners association, we are not presenting this as an association. I just happen to be a member of this association speaking about this. My address is 42 Southwest Wallingford Way in Beaverton, and I am in favor of the proposal and the recommendations of the traffic commissioners. A few of the aspects I'd like to cover. Mr. Henderson, I would like to think that people would be safe going through even if we didn't have any parking there, but I really object to the idea of using cars as traffic control strips, because that's kind of what they are now, is if you go a little outside in your lane, you're going to hit a car, and that's not a good traffic control method. It would be better to not have anybody there that we could potentially hit. Another thing that I, from the point of view of a person living in the neighborhood, is I think, do we have adequate parking not on Cadogan to provide for parking off street for the residents who live there? And the answer is everybody has a garage, and or some of these that are on this Cadogan has a off street parking in the alley. So the impact on the people who live in the neighborhood is acceptable as far as the community standards in our community. And we do have a fire lane that is in the northern part of our neighborhood, but that is not adequate to provide fire services. So yes, we definitely need to restrict the parking on both sides to ensure emergency equipment can be servicing the area without having to worry about towing cars out of the way. I was interested that Diane had mentioned all of Cadogan not having parking, because there is one issue, and that is because 170th is busy, there's a limited visibility because there's a fence on site, so you basically have to pull out into traffic almost to be able to see if you're safe to turn. So having less restrictions around there, as in people parking, would enhance our safety on that area also. And that, I just hope and wish that we would have no parking. And this is maybe a question one of you can answer. If it becomes no parking, do you paint the curbs or do you put signs up? And then enforcement, if we have people that are parking, regardless of if there's a sign or a painted strip, do we call the police to have this enforced? If it happens, what are the steps that we take to ensure that our safety is there?
And those are questions we can direct to the traffic engineer.
What the city does, we post no parking signs, so it will be enforced. Paint does not mean anything.
Okay. So with the no parking signs, if somebody continues to park in those areas, do we call the non-emergency Beaverton police, or is there a code enforcement number that we call instead?
So you have a couple options. One, you can call non-emergency, like you said, and we'll send somebody out to look and see if we see a violation and deal with it. The second is that into my telephone and to my email address, there's traffic complaint hotlines and emails that people can also send in off our website. So those all come to me and I check them at least weekly.
Right.
So quicker is just to call non-emergency dispatch.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up, I apologize. Bozeman Singh?
Bozeman Singh.
Bozeman Singh, I apologize, thank you.
My name is Bozeman Singh and I live in Cadogan Drive, right in front where the turnaround is about. And I have the perfect view of Cadogan Drive. And I see people go back and forth, making a wrong way because of the traffic. People are parked right in front of my house. Also, cars park other sides, so when they park both sides, it becomes so narrow, people have to either go in the wrong way or they have to wait until other cars. As Diane said, everybody has double garages in those homes. And some people decided not to park. And I have also people, neighbor, park the wrong way. And there are some, when right next door, the person had rented, two renters, also parked right in front of Canada Drive. So I don't know if it's legal or not, that I don't know. We also had to cut down trees and bushes so we can see what cars are coming. When we are coming from 167, we really have to stop and see the cars. And sometimes when the cars are parked, we really have to be careful. Some cars are coming more than 25 miles an hour or 20 miles an hour. And some people who live there, they know the speed, so they go at the right speed. So I really favor no parking, and especially where the turnaround is about up to the Theodore. It's very narrow line there. So especially that area when both sides, that's where it's very narrow. And I really support if there will be no parking because of the safety, and so people can drive as what the law is supposed to be, where you're driving, not the wrong way. And I have my neighbors, some kids also, they're going with the bicycles, and sometimes they, when they come from the wrong way, accident could happen. So I would very much appreciate if there would be no parking on Canada Drive. Thank you. Any other questions?
Thank you. Commissioner Brown.
So in the event that you have company, would it be a difficulty for them if they couldn't park in front of the home?
There's we have a private neighborhood that is Pembroke. There's both parking is available about 150 feet away. So when you go from 167th going west, and there's a turnaround about, if you turn right, we have a parking there.
Actually, I have a follow-up to that. How frequently is that Pembroke area full of cars?
Not in that particular area, no. No parking. Nobody's parked there.
Okay, thank you. Any more questions? All right, thank you very much, Mr. Singh.
Mm-hmm.
And then our final car that we have is for Reno Kentaro. And just a reminder to read the green card there for the information.
Thank you. My name is Reno Kentaro, and I represent myself and my partner Zeke. And I actually stay at the house at 16955, which is where the 65 is. And I'm actually against this proposal. Because my problem is there is actually, I know Barbara said that there's parking in the alleyway behind my house, but there's actually no parking. You can't park there. You can't even fit two cars there. It's just an alleyway to get to your drive, your garage. And so, and then the problem I have is what what you said is when we do have guests and family over, there's actually no parking if you eliminate that parking strip in front of my house. It sounds like the big picture is, and I do agree with everybody here, that it is a safety concern because we have seen kids almost getting hit by cars. And the 600, that seems like a lot. And I know a lot of people do take Walker. Instead of taking Walker, they take Cadillac as a shortcut. And I think that's like the biggest thing here, rather than parking, is more of a like safety concern and maybe limiting through traffic on Cadillac. But, and then also the other thing is I need parking there at night because I work at night. So my garage is kind of loud, so I don't want to wake up the neighbors in the back of my home. So I usually park in front. So if you eliminate that parking, maybe do it like a certain amount of time a day, like maybe after 6 o'clock at night, do like limited parking based on time. And also my neighbor just actually texted me, and she lives right next to me. She lives on the Pembroke Terrace in Caddyat. Her name is Mary, and she's actually against it as well, because it limits her parking and her relatives too as well, that kind of music. And also, so you guys know, on Pembroke Terrace, the right side here, where the 45 feet and Pembroke Terrace, that's actually all no parking, that's fire lane. And so if you eliminate all this parking, that Pembroke Terrace, where her house is on the corner of Caddyat and Pembroke Terrace, that's not that many parking spaces. It's probably like about three, maybe four cars will fit there. And the other house behind her is actually, they have a bunch of cars there, so it's like, that's all full. And Barb, she was saying that she doesn't mind having this no parking, but her house is in the back, and her guests can park there, right? So it's not limited, restricted parking. So it's going to affect everybody on this side as far as we're not going to have guest parking or family parking. So that's kind of what I'm against.
Any questions?
Any questions?
I do have one question.
Okay.
So you did mention like safety is kind of a concern that you do see there.
Right.
Would you be in favor of it all as proposed, with the exception of in front of your house parking being allowed?
So the problem I have with that is that everybody on the other sides, they have several vehicles, so I guess where they're going to start parking, and I know they have. And these driveways actually are not really driveways. You can't even fit a car in the driveway. So it's mainly if they don't park in their garage, then they're gonna probably park in front of my house. That's where they're gonna park. And it seems like where the 45 feet is, that's actually more narrow. Like you can't even fit cars in there. I've seen fire trucks go through Caddyat and drive the cars on both sides. So that's a concern. I've seen fire trucks fit in there. And I think the bigger picture really is it's a through traffic street. It seems like it's what everybody's using it as. And that's like the main complaint that everybody has. I don't know how to resolve that, and I don't think the parking thing is going to resolve that problem either. So it's still going to be a through traffic street. So. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yes, you're welcome.
Okay, that concludes the public hearing portion. Okay, so we will move on to the hearing with the commissioners, deliberation.
May I just ask a question?
No, unfortunately, public comments are done at this time. Sorry. Any commissioners have any comments they want to lead off with?
I would have a question for Jeff.
Commissioner Brown? Yes.
So, could we get by with less restricted length of parking? Well, when I drove Caddyat into the traffic circle, there was a car parked right at the entrance into the traffic circle that made it quite difficult to see around the car to see if anybody was coming the other way. But what I was wondering was if you could limit the parking as you approach the traffic circle so that traffic coming in is able to see into the street ahead far enough to know if anybody's coming the other way. Again, what it would mean is on the south side of Caddyat, you would move the no parking farther to the east if that's feasible.
Potentially, we could reduce it by, 20, 25 feet on the west side. That's shown now, no parking. But on the east side, no, I don't think we can do it.
So you would retain that 45 foot?
Yes. So we'll match on the other side. But also, this would encourage people to park close to the intersection of the other way. So it might create some issues there too.
Okay, so the solution you proposed is pretty much our best bet.
I believe, yes, yeah. But it doesn't mean we cannot tweak it a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
If you want.
anyone for coming down. I think based on the written testimony and the public testimony, the reason there's a speed factor is because cars are parked there, but obviously there's a need for parking, so there's, you know, what's the higher priority sometimes? I think based on the traffic, you know, commission criteria, you know, we need to make sure we provide safe vehicle movements and also help ensure orderly, predictable movement. So obviously, vehicles driving on the wrong side of the street, it's not what we're trying to accomplish. So I know it's unfortunate when it's not unanimous. We like those when everybody agrees on what to do. I think the 8 to 10 spots is a good compromise to have improved safety. So in my opinion, I would, you know, concur with the engineer's report that we approve it as written. You know, we might be able to move or reduce some of the no parking, but we still have the challenge if there's vehicles parked on either side. So in my opinion, I'm happy with the plan as written.
Following up, I actually do agree as written as well. I feel like the safety issues are the primary of this, but it is really difficult to reduce parking in front of personal property. Do we need to have a new final written order if we do reduce the parking there so we can maybe allow one extra car, or is it okay as is?
I think we need to adjust the fundamental order, yeah, to be specific about it.
Okay. And those are my thoughts. I guess we would entertain a motion regarding the final written order.
Any other discussions?
Any other discussions?
So you're suggesting we add a provision to the recommendation to move the length of the parking on the south side of the street?
Yes, I guess I wasn't clear on that. Yeah, I guess I would propose to shrink that a little bit to allow an additional parking space in front of those homes, because that's clearly a concern for the homeowners that do live there.
Which, this section?
Yeah. Isn't that the one that we were discussing prior?
Yeah.
The one that has the 65 in front of it. We don't have house numbers or anything else to identify our map, so I'm apologize for that. And I would adjust the final written order to reduce that size just a little bit. But that would be my proposal. That would alter that. Aside from that, I am pretty much on board with it as written.
Would we match that on the south side of the street as well?
I think if maybe we just match it 45-45.
On the south side. So if you're moving the restriction eastward, will you move it eastward also on the south side of the street as well?
Yeah, that would be for that as well, for consistency's sake. But I don't know if the suggestions on that. Any comments on reducing that parking?
No, I think I would concur. Preserving some parking and while we restrict the parking through the circle, I think the combination of things is desirable. So, can we leave the final numbers up to Mr. Casho?
I'd like to be specific about these things, you know, because they're all in quite great issues. I'm going to suggest that we match the west side of the traffic circle with the east side. So instead of having 65 feet, we'll make it 45. This will allow at least two vehicles, one on each side, to park.
So 45 on the east and west side of the circle?
Okay. Basically, we measured it from Pembroke Terrace, yeah.
Okay.
So do you need us to deny this current one as is, and then you come back to us with the proposed?
No, we just make
the motion. Okay. You need just to amend the motion, say we, you know, approve the final order, just amending the west side to go to 45 feet, and the next meeting we'll bring an updated final order.
Okay. Sounds good. And then it does sound like there's a lot of traffic cut-throughs that are concerns. I would encourage you guys to look at the traffic calming program that we do have on the website. And you can start getting your neighborhood talking involved with that through an app to further address those concerns. So with that said, I guess we're entertaining a motion to modify or recommend this. I propose to file a written order modified for TC 791 that we restrict parking on both sides of South Coast Cattegate Drive between the west intersection of South Coast Theater Way and Pembroke Terrace, and to match the 45 feet on both sides as the modification.
I'll second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes 4-0. Okay. Thank you guys all very much for coming out. We'll be moving on to the next traffic issue, which is TC 792. And we'll start with staff comments on that.
Yeah. This request was from Ms. Candy Bader of Rambold. She requested establishing 2-hour parking limit and loading zones with the new extension of Southwest Crescent Street between Rose Beachy and Fair Lane, and also on the new street. Fair Lane is a new street that connects Rose Beachy to Cedar Hills Boulevard. In March of this year, the construction of these two streets was completed and opened to traffic as part of the Rise Central development. This is just across the street here, and they have 260 residential units and 6,300 square feet of retail space at the first floor. The request for the 2-hour parking limit is to ensure that parking is available for residents and businesses in the area and is not consumed by white-trained users. The 2 loading zones is to ensure that parking spaces are available for deliveries and moving vehicles that serve residents and businesses in the area. If we leave it the way it is, then it will be occupied all the time, as this area now getting more busy. Parking on the street is almost 100% all the time. Currently, parking is allowed on both sides of the street, on the Southwest Crescent Street. On Terre Lane, it's allowed only on the west side, because the street is narrower there. A typical downtown averages on street time stay between, you know, 1 1/4 to almost 1 3/4 hours. The Beaverton Downtown Parking Solution Study, it's an old study, but it did recommend establishing 2-hour parking limit in the retail and business core area. And this is consistent with all the downtown area here that we changed the parking on it years ago. So staff is proposing to establish a 2-hour parking limit on the new extension of Southwest Crescent Street between Rose Beachy and Terre Lane, and on the new Southwest Terre Lane between Rose Beachy and Cedar Hills Boulevard. The 2-hour parkings will be effective during the hours of 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. This will ensure that parking is available for short-term customers, clients, and visitors of the around area. Staff is also proposing to establish 1 loading zone on the north side of Southwest Crescent, west of Rose Beachy, and 1 loading zone on the south side of Southwest Fair Lane, just west of Crescent Street, and those are shown on the plan. So basically the first parking spot on the north side of Southwest Crescent, just off Rose Beachy, it will be a loading zone. And the loading zone will be effective between 6 a.m. and 9 p.m. This will also allow, you know, any residents or visitors to park overnight and then in the morning, you know, they move their cars, and it will be open for a loading zone. So we're asking the commission to approve this request.
Thank you. We'll move on to the public testimony portion. Please take note of the green card up front when you come up to testify. First on the list is Naomi Fast.
Hello. actually live on the outskirts. I live in a little pocket of Incorporated Beaverton over near Nike. So I'm here. I come downtown quite a bit. I actually was at 3 transportation meetings today. One was in Tigard, so I just got back. And I do not own a car. I use a bicycle. So my question about this issue, I mentioned on the car and seeking clarification, but I'm essentially opposed without clarification. I'm opposed to the addition of on-street parking for cars at this point in our climate era, where 40% of our GHG emissions in Oregon come from transportation. So that being said, I am in favor of limits, and I'm also in favor of it being paid for with a meter. As far as loading zone, I have questions whether this will be car sharing type thing or not. But my concerns are kind of a couple. People parking cars present an issue for me riding a bicycle. It creates a conflict. Streets are publicly owned and they have multiple purposes, but for the most part, they're places of movement. And so when you have people storing things and you have different modes, some are micro modes, some are cars, some are emergency vehicles, that just having car storage creates an additional stress and difficulty. So my question is about this particular issue is, was an equity analysis done to see how more on-street parking downtown will affect people on the outskirts of town who don't even have cars? Either they can't afford it, or they want to help fight climate change, or whatever the reason. I would like to know if there was a modal equity analysis and maybe a class analysis, like in terms of car ownership in the city. Another thing I just wanted to point out was on the active transportation plan, there's a target listed of 11.1% people biking in the next several years and 27% walking. That's all trips. So my question to you is, how does on-street parking and parking garages and that sort of thing help build that? How many stable racks do we need per on-street parking? There, I noticed 3 on that brand new street in front of the apartment. I just don't think that's quite enough to allow for car-free families like mine. So I know this is a difficult question when people are coming in and saying, hey, I have like 5 cars and I need to park them all in front of my house, but I need to get places alive. We just had a fatality in Tigard, person riding a bicycle. And, I'm here kind of saying that I want to get places alive on the mode of my choice, if possible. And on-street parking is just one of the issues that complicates that. So I guess I'm opposed without knowing what the equity analysis results are.
Well, I will turn this over to Jabber just for a moment if there's any additional comments before we go further.
People who use the parking, it's not just the people who live here. There is businesses here that attracts customers from other areas, from Tigard, from Hillsborough, from Portland. So some they choose to drive, it's a choice. Some they choose to ride their bicycles. There are, bicycle parking, the short-term bicycle parking, that's what you see outside of the apartments. But inside, they have long-term parking that's covered and lit for the residents who live there and the visitors too. So when we talk about equity and parking, I don't think there is... the way Ms. Fast, asked it, I haven't seen it done before. How do you evaluate equity between different cities or parking users? I think this is, I wish she could tell me a place that they did this, about parking on street, especially on street parking. So that's all I have. You know, I don't have any. I can't find an answer basically to this question.
Well, and I do know to your one question, it's not, they're not creating new parking spots. These are existing parking spots. They're just limiting them to 2 hours increments. And that's what this proposal is doing. So it's not creating any additional parking spots for cars. It's, they're already existing.
I'm aware of that, but in terms of having any car parking there, was an equity analysis done in terms of like how many people are living without cars in that building? How does the funding of the street affect people on the outskirts of town that need bicycle parking when they come here, like me? I guess this is, you know, the city pays for things. And so I guess I'm just wondering who this benefits. And I know there's also the loading zone. So my question was, you know, for what, or, you know, what type of loading zone? Is it for like Uber or I don't know. But so those are my questions, just in terms of what the city is, if they're promoting, if the city is building enough bicycle, like short-term stable racks for people to buy, to meet this, to grow our mode share of biking.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions or comments from this? No, thank you. Those are some great information to consider going forward with this. And we do have a bicycle advisory board that is very active.
Thanks. In
as well. Perfect. Thanks. Next up, we have Kira Kador.
I'm Kira Kador. I'm with Rembold at 10305 Southwest Parkway. We're the developer of the Rise Central. So I wanted to talk about why we requested limiting parking time and what the loading zone will be used for. But I want to react a little bit to Naomi, right? To her comments. One of the things that we hope for long-term is that we don't have to use our parking, that residents won't have cars because it's expensive to build and you don't get a lot of revenue off of it. And we'd much rather put more housing or amenity space. In the Rise Central, we have more bike parking in our building than we have car parking. So our hope, by building housing, mixed-use housing near a light rail station, you know, that you can walk across the street to, is that we're encouraging more non-car users to live in the core of the city and take other modes of transportation. So that's our long-term goal. Today, what we're hoping to accomplish is to keep a vibrant area where you can come have dinner. There's a hotel that's going to be built as well, and they're not providing one-to-one parking. I don't think they're doing very many parking spaces at all. So what we don't want to have a fight over on-street parking by people that are parking there and taking naps and going somewhere else because it's free on-street parking. So that's why we asked for the 2-hour limitation. The loading zone, I hope, will have multiple uses. I hope it'll be deliveries to restaurants and retailers that we're putting in the hotel house. I hope it's for people that are moving into our community. I hope it's for Uber drivers, Lyft drivers. We have a system up in our lobbies called Transit Screen that tells you every mode of transit that's available, where it is, when it's going to be close to you, including Lyft, Uber, any bike shares that are nearby, buses, light rail. So that's what I hope the loading zone just won't sit there and wait for UPS to pull up. I think that's all I had to say.
Thank you very much for those clarifications. Any questions? All right. That does close the public hearing portion on TC 792. Any follow-up staff comments?
I have one.
Commissioner,
quick question.
Yes, Commissioner Bray.
So, Mr. Cashero, on Crescent Street, just to the west of Rose BG on the south side?
Yes.
Will that Monday be 2-hour parking?
We left this out because this designs on that side will come with the plans for the hotel.
Okay.
Yeah, it's part of the land use, so okay. It will be signed accordingly.
Any further questions? All right, we move into commissioner deliberation. Any thoughts or comments? Yes, Commissioner.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea to limit the 2-hour parking. It will help the retail and businesses, and also provide adequate parking for the residents. And I agree with the time frames. So I'm happy with 6 a.m. and 9 p.m. for loading, and 7 a.m. 6 p.m. for the 2-hour parking. I don't think we need to change that. So I'm okay with the measure.
I actually concur very much with what you just said, and very much appreciated the testimony too. And I think having the 2 hours will keep people from just parking during that time and taking the MAX or any other kind of transportation, and it does free up for the businesses there. So, yeah, I concur. Any other comments?
I agree. I there would be a lot of apartments here too, so if somebody with a second car who decides they want to work for 3 weeks, that would be a problem too. So this having a park restriction, I think, is a great idea.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Okay, with that, we entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve TC 792 as written.
I second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All right, motion passes 4-0. All right, and with that said, our public hearing portion is closed for the evening. It looks like we do have a presentation for the traffic calming policy with the Beaverton Committee for Community Involvement.
Yeah, the presentation was canceled due to we have 3 commissioners tonight that are not available. So they decided to bring it at the next meeting, which will be in August. We have some ideas about changing the program of the traffic calming and the procedures. So we'd like every commissioner to be involved in this one.
Thank you. Any old business?